This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We're live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Mesquite off of Pavilion Court. If you want to come and see us, 877-881-1053. You want to get involved on the Franklin Frankel Injury Attorney text line or the Twitch or the YouTube. We got George Teague at 10:15. We got Jerry Jones at 10:30 after a Cowboys victory that is a victory, and it appears it has divided people between a win's a win, especially in a division game on the road, versus you just barely beat a terrible team.
Yeah, and where do you feel on that? Will you accept the win?
Oh, of course.
Okay.
Because I thought the season was over if you lost the game.
Yeah, you always accept a win, all right? Just accept the win, but you can't deny. You can't be like, oh, everything's fixed. And I don't think Jerry's going to come on here and say everything's fixed based on what last night looked like. You do take into account the opponent is not great. But man, you got to hang your hat and say 1.1 yards per carry. I'm going to go with that. Considering how terrible it was before, was it 6.1 yards per carry against Baltimore?
Yeah.
Like, if you're looking at that differently this week, you're going, I'm happy with that. That's the one thing that I'll take away from it. You get a win, and that's where I am on it, man. But you got so much work to do. I have never, Kevin, never, ever been so happy a game was over as I was when that thing finally ended last night. I was like, we do not have to do this anymore. I can get my notes all taken care of and get to bed. And I didn't even – it was early. It was early for what I thought a Thursday night game was.
Okay, so can we all agree that regardless of the outcome or if it was because the game was close or whatever – that game yesterday sucked.
It stunk.
And maybe it's because the refs were like, I'm going to throw every flag in the world.
Two plays were awesome. All right, CeeDee Lamb's touchdown was awesome.
That play was awesome.
Rico Dowdle, man, I want more Rico Dowdle, if that's an okay thing to say today. Even on his touchdown, there are flags flying everywhere, and they were like, oh, our bad. We didn't mean it. Yeah, dude, the flags were... I blame Alec. I'm going to blame Alec on this when he told us yesterday that we shouldn't be concerned about the flags because this guy doesn't throw very many. So, Alec, you're going to have to take the blame for this one, but we'll figure out a new strategy for next time.
Did we all know it was a bad sign, even though it worked out for the Cowboys, when, like, one of the first penalties, they were like, I don't know, I called on the wrong team. They're like, I called a face mask on the Giants. It was really on my guy Overshown. Hey, don't worry about that. I appreciate that it worked out for the Cowboys. That should have been our first sign that this officiating crew is terrible.
Al Michaels complaining about it was hilarious throughout the evening. I mean, look, Tyler Guyton has a lot of growth in front of him. Cooper Beebe was really good, though, aside from his holding situation. But Tyler Guyton has a lot of growth, and that was one of the main causes of a lot of those penalties last night. And, Kevin, here's one thing I'm gonna work on him with. Okay. Not me particularly, but I would suggest, don't throw your hands up in the air when you think it might look like a penalty, because then they're going to throw a flag on you.
Ah.
Every time he got called, you could see his hands were up. He's laying on top of a guy, and he's got his hands like, I didn't do it, even though he's laying on top of him. So it's one of those, like, I would work with him on that just a little bit. But that was a main cause for a lot of penalties last night. That's frustrating.
Can we also work on the officiating group for... Was what CeeDee Lamb did, is that really what we're saying is taunting now? It's not like he stopped and did a backflip or anything going into the end zone. He was like, aha, I scored a touchdown. I thought that was really a soft call.
I thought that Diggs was going to get called on one of his stops on Neighbors, I believe, and it was one of those that it kind of looked like the Booth play that busted open early in the game, but it was kind of the same thing. Diggs is turned around staring at him and talking to him, and then they had a back and forth. I loved it. I think it's fun. Like, that's a fun part of the game if they're like, the competition's rolling between us tonight and we're going. I thought he was going to. Yeah, I thought that was cheap for the CeeDee Lamb one, too.
People can feel however they want about the win. Absolutely. I'm just going to say, when you listen to what everybody said after the fact, I'm going to isolate this one particular part of what Micah Parsons said, because to me, I think this is like up there with the most I've ever agreed with Micah Parsons about anything. He said, winning's important. It's hard to do in this league. So edging out a 20-15 win wasn't perfect. I'm done scraping by. I don't want to scrape by no more. I want legit wins and to win consistently. And so I think that quote's got a little something for everybody in it in terms of like, hey, it's hard to win in the NFL. And like, obviously, in the division, on the road. But then the second part is like what really resonated with me yesterday. I'm glad the Cowboys won. But I'm also with him when he's like, I'm done scraping by. I don't want to scrape by no more. Because what happened yesterday, I really did think the Cowboys were going to win by a lot, but they got by an inferior team, and it just makes you nervous for the stretch of games they have coming up.
Yeah, it should. It should make them nervous, too, so that they can't walk into the Star this week and go, all right, guys, we did it.
Yeah.
They need to walk into the Star this week and go, hey, man, whatever work we did to get a little bit better last week, and hey, maybe the opponent did stink. But whatever work we did last week, we got to do it again this week and every other week down the road, because otherwise we're going to get embarrassed by Pittsburgh. We're going to get embarrassed by the Lions. We're going to get embarrassed by Buffalo. All those teams will embarrass you if you don't do the work that they put in for this week specifically. I think this is a team that needs growth and progression throughout the season. Youth is at key spots, still has to learn. Guyton, BB, Overshown, Kevin. I think go ahead and fit him for your gold jacket. We'll talk about that for sure. He was phenomenal last night, and you need him on the field.
He didn't even get called for face mask.
Even though it was clearly a face mask.
No, I'm with you on that.
But like this is a game that you watch. If anybody on the team, anybody on the coaching staff, the owner, the GM, all of them have to be thinking to themselves, okay, we got away with it. We got by this team. We're going to have to see them again. Hopefully we can do the same thing to them. They're a bad team. We have to be better. And I know you are in this feeling, because I knew it last night when you texted me. You expected more out of this team last night. A lot of fans out there expected more out of this team last night. They expected to blow them out of the water. I told you I felt like it was going to be closer than you thought it was going to be, but that I understand if your expectations were this and you want to go into it, hey, we got a 10-point lead, now we're tied. You know, 20-point lead means we're up by 10. And that's where your expectations, and I think it should be there, and I think their expectations should be there too.
It was a weird game in terms of, you know, there's some people, and I don't agree with this at all, but there's some people who are like, you can just look at the box score and know what happened. I'm not saying he had a bad game by any means. In fact, I thought Dak was quite good, especially in certain aspects. 22 of 27, no turnovers, 2 touchdowns. That feels like a game that you would take all day, and obviously they win, but you only scored 20 points, and this is the third out of 4 games where the Cowboys have not scored an offensive touchdown in the second half. They have not scored an offensive touchdown in the third quarter all season. The only second half offensive touchdowns they have were in that blitzkrieg against the Ravens last weekend. And so I remain concerned about, like, the numbers might look good at times, but it doesn't always translate on the scoreboard where you're like, 20 points, huh? Mm-hmm. That's what we came away with?
Yeah, so you're walking in to the locker room, Kevin, after that game, and you're just looking at everybody going, stop being booty in the second half, right? Is that what I'm kind of getting from you?
Probably.
Then do it, man. Let's do that. Let's tell them, stop being booty in the second half. Let's be better, all right? And I hope Micah, high ankle sprain, I hope he can be part of it and find a way to contribute in some way. But man, yeah, that's definitely needs to be the message. Is we have so much more we have to accomplish.
From the 325, they're not winning the next 6 games. Now I need clarification on that. Are you saying they're not going to win 6 consecutive games from here? Because I don't think anybody feels as though that's going to happen. If your point is they're not going to win any of the next 6 games, I would also say that seems unlikely to me. Somewhere in the middle. So I'll make the bold take this morning. Cowboys will go somewhere between 0-6 and 6-0 in the next
six games.
I like it.
Does that feel like a fair prediction?
Sounds good to me.
I just want clarification.
I'll bet money on it.
Yeah, I just want clarification from the 325 when they say they're not winning the next six games of what you mean by that. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Mesquite. If you want to come out and see us, coming up next, let's talk with NCAA champion and former Dallas Cowboys safety and destroyer of T.O. It's George Teague next right here on The Fan.
Hand off to Singletary. He's going to be thrown for a loss. Wow. Mozzie Smith at the point of attack drove him back.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through The Fan. We're live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Mesquite. If you want to come on out and see us, they are open, I assure you. And right now on the D&M Leasing Hotline, we bring to you Dallas Cowboys former safety destroyer of T.O. and NCAA champion. It is George T. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning. Thank you guys for letting me spend a little bit of time with you guys.
Oh, I love it.
Absolutely, especially since I know you're probably on edge getting ready for tomorrow's game against Georgia. How much of your attention is focused on the Cowboys right now versus the Georgia Bulldogs?
Well, I was super worried about the Dallas Cowboys, and I don't want to be stressed that much going into my weekend, so I'm trying not to have that much attention there. I am focusing on this Alabama-Georgia game, so I think I'm more worried about the Cowboys, though, honestly, because I don't know. I think we've got some things we still need to work on.
So like in a game like last night then, because people are obviously, as you can guess, pretty split with the group of, hey, you won on the road, you won up against a divisional team, which all of those things are absolutely true, versus the people who are like, I feel like you barely won against an inferior opponent. Like, how do you balance those feelings out with reality?
Well, I think as a player, I don't even know which hat I need to put on, guys, right? So I've been a coach, and you know when you're supposed to beat teams and you beat them, do you really feel good about it because you beat up on the school that's a whole lot smaller than you and not as good? Hey, we got to win. Win is a win. I don't necessarily believe that, particularly when you have some issues and some struggles. You know, still didn't figure out how to run the ball effectively, in my opinion. That's a problem. Doesn't matter who you play, you got to establish something. Okay, yeah, your quarterback looked good, throw some great passes and, you know, making some things happen. Okay, you feel good about that, but I think who you play makes a big difference. So as a fan, which I am, yeah, I'm glad we got the win, but as an analyst and as a player, I don't think it's that great of a win, considering we're still not where we need to be yet.
Well, then I guess that next part of it is over the next 10 days, as you got this mini bye here, coaches and players-wise, what do they have to do? As a coach, you got to run in there and be like, look, I'm not letting you guys off the hook. I'm going to work you all week even harder. And do the players have to be like, you know what, I accept that. Is that kind of the approach you have to take in the locker room?
That's what you want, that you're not there, and you hope that the players react to that. You know, you got to have the coach to be able to motivate and make sure the guys know exactly where you're going and what you're trying to do. I'm hearing the right words that maybe that's happening and it doesn't look like punishment, like we're not there or something. But if your ultimate goal is try to win a Super Bowl or get farther in the playoffs, you know, you have to do these things. You have to take that extra time. You got to go get a little extra treatment. You got to run a couple extra routes. You got to hit the weights a little bit harder. And someone needs to call in and say, hey, man, everybody need to be here this extra day or two. You know, we need to be 100% focused because, you know, going out to Pittsburgh and trying to play them regardless of what you think about the quarterback situation and all this other stuff, not going to be an easy game to win. So they do need to pull together this long week.
They had they were better at stopping the run. 1.1, 26 total yards. They were better at it last night. But then, you know, you do have Malik Nabers finding spots right behind the linebackers and doing that. Is that just kind of the give and take of it? Is, look, we're going to do this? Or can they meld those two together at some point this year?
No, I think you can meld it together at some point. Yeah, you know, when you got Devin Singletary running the ball and you hold him, that is fantastic. It doesn't matter. He's a good running back, right? They're all good. But it's not the same rushing attack of the Baltimore Ravens. Or maybe even the Pittsburgh Steelers, or the people that were going to play down the line. So we got to be focused on that. But at the same time, you got a lot of guys that, you know, what I like about the pass piece is, yeah, he had a lot of catches and maybe a lot of yards, but didn't get in the end zone. And that's the ultimate thing that you can sit back and say, hey, we didn't give up any touchdowns, so that's a big win.
Talking with George Teague right here on 105.3 The Fan. Now, we heard a lot of discussion before this game about sticking to your assignments on defense, playing in unison. I'm curious, what does that look like out there on the field? And, like, are you aware of all the assignments for the people around you? Like, can you be on your assignment but also be like, oh, crap, that person doesn't have their guy?
100%. I've been in that a lot of times where I've been at fault or TV or something else because I actually had to cover up someone. And it looks like, George Teague didn't know what he was doing. He's wide open over there. But that's not the case. So we're smart enough to know what most people do. And it really comes into play up front probably more than anything else when a defensive lineman is out of his gap and the linebacker has to make him right. You know, those are the things that most people don't see. Or maybe the linebacker isn't where he's supposed to be. Or the safety knows the corner is a little off. So it's super important to have each other back to be able to do that and be able to talk about that without the level of frustration of saying, hey, man, you don't know what the heck you're doing. You know, it's just, come on, let's get it right. Because if you do your job right, I can do mine even better.
You know, the other thing, too, I was looking at grades this morning, and I know grades can be here and there, but Mozzie Smith had the best defensive grade last night. How important is what he has to do to the entire defense? Because it feels like what he does sets up everybody else.
Well, I was about to say, a lot of pressure on him when I say that. He's very critical to what Coach Zimmer needs to do with this defense. You know, he has to demand some double teams. He's got to play those. You don't have to make every tackle. Now, he was flying around, getting after it. I was glad to see that because I didn't know how his year was going to be after watching him early on from camp until now. So, you know, if you can get two interior guys to continue to free up Eric Kendricks and Overshown, man, this defense can be light out. But it's going to take two defensive tackles, not just Mozzie. Glad that he played better, but we need both guys to be super strong and have a presence in the interior of the line.
Man, we know you're on a tight schedule. Appreciate the time very much, good sir, and best of luck to your boys tomorrow.
Yes, go Cowboys and roll Tide.
There you go, George Teague, right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're the KNC Masterpiece live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Mesquite. Let's keep all that Cowboys content coming. Coming up next, we will talk with Dallas Cowboys owner and GM Jerry Jones right here on 105.3 The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Mesquite. If you want to stop on by it right now, brought to you by Ford in your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. We bring to you Dallas Cowboys owner and general manager Jerry Jones. Good morning, sir.
Hey, Kevin, Corey, good morning, and it's a beautiful day.
Indeed, after a win, I imagine it is. Now, I know it was only the fourth game of the season, but did you go into this game feeling like it was maybe not a must-win, but like almost a must-win game?
Well, we can look back now and say and speculate on what it might have felt like or been what we would have looked forward to had we not won the game, and paint a pretty convincing picture that this was that maybe a win of that nature. But you know, for me, New York is such a special place to play. As a younger guy before I bought the Cowboys, my time was I spent quite a bit of time in New York, and I used to go down to Gallagher's to the New York Giant radio show, and it was a happening, boy. And it was, for me, it was like going to the North Pole to sit around Santa Claus during the year. And it was inspirational. It put energy in my step. But I just dreamed about maybe, this is a fairy tale to be around, talk about the Giants, talk about NFL football. And when I evolved to where I was actually thinking about and getting a chance to be involved and buy the Cowboys, I was inspired by my time in New York, hanging around those Giants and all of the stuff that went on up there. I always think of that for some reason when I go to New York. It may be my favorite NFL experience as an owner to go up there and play in the big city.
Now, obviously the Cowboys win last night. We hear from a lot of fans. I'm sure you do now and again as well. But a lot of the feedback we've got this morning was, I'm glad the team won, but meh. The effort was okay against a mediocre team. How did you think the team, the Cowboys that is, looked last night against a team that is now 1-3?
I was very impressed with the Giants. I thought their quarterback was better than I thought he was. I thought they were solid in the offensive line. That's better than I thought they were. So they were a tough matchup. And again, it's at home. They're the New York Giant home. And so I was impressed, consequently, because they were such a tough out. You know, had those 11 penalties, and it really was lopsided on the penalties, which is perplexing, to say the very least. If you're going to call holding, there's no way it doesn't happen both sides if you've got your eye on it, if you're officials. But my whole point about it is that they played a solid game. They didn't give us a lot. I thought we did a heck of a job defending their run, and we needed to. And, of course, their quarterback is a load. And I just think I'm more impressed with how New York played us. You can say, well, isn't that lack of something for the Cowboys for them to play us so well? You can look at it both ways. But I thought they had a solid, I mean a real stayed, the Giants, solid game. We responded to it, won the game. I'm tickled to death.
Yeah, we'll give the team a lot of credit for being patient throughout the entire game and also sticking to what they were doing. This team, Jerry, the last few years you felt like the team started hot. They were built to start hot. Did you anticipate that this team was built to progress over the season and grow, maybe start a little slower and become better late?
Well, we had a big-time contribution last night from Mozzie Smith and Overshown, second-year guys. We are playing the highest number of first- and second-year guys in the NFL. We are. And so we're going to get some real dividends from putting all these young players on the field. We need to do it because that's the way our roster is built. And we've got top salaries with some top players. Yes, they need to do just like they did last night. Lamb and Dak and those guys, that they need to domino boy. They need to play. On the other hand, we're going to have a lot of contribution from young players. So I look at it, the young players, because, you know, a pro season is about two college seasons long. And we got a long way to go, and I know you keep hearing that. But as we're getting there, these guys are getting reps, getting better. Guidance getting going to be getting better. BB's going to be getting better. Those lot of backups are in there. We're improving. Now, that's hard to do when you have a couple of outings like we had against the Saints, or if you really had against Baltimore. But we're putting things in the storehouse as the squirrels for the nuts in the storehouse that are going to be paying dividends for us this winter.
You know, I love that analogy there, Jerry. I really appreciate that one. The a lot of times after,
sure, you
know,
you
win. a lot of times after a win, you know, you're like, okay, maybe we can take it easy. And I've heard you the last couple weeks. You're like, I like that McCarthy has some things to build on and to work on with these guys. And I'm always kind of curious, when do you think is a good time for the owner GM to kind of be a real son of a bitch and start demanding from his team?
Well, if I thought being what you just outlined there and being any more demanding. Now, surely, after looking at this thing for 30-something years, you don't realize that I'm not hesitant to speak up.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a lot of visits over the years with every coach that we've ever had. And but I also understand how we built the team. I understand what we're trying to do with an individual player, a young player. And so you can get a situation, you're right, you can get a situation where you shouldn't understand. You should be unreasonable. You shouldn't see the reason why it's happening. You should say, I don't care if what the reason is, I want it changed. And let me say this, if I thought for one reason that me huffing up, me going in, me calling, having midnight meetings, if I thought it would help us get more first downs or get a longer possession on an offensive drive, I'd be over there doing it every day.
Talk with Jerry Jones right here on 105 Through the Fan. I know the game just happened last night, but is there any early information or updates you can give us about the health status of DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah Parsons? A lot of Cowboys fans are holding their breaths on both of those guys.
Well, I rode back on the plane with the team last night, we got here about 4, and the bottom line is that I'm pleased that they feel good about they being the players. And they, and generally, both Parsons and Lawrence feel good about it, and that's always a good sign. And usually, our on-the-spot medical team they'll tell you if you've got a problem or not. And I don't know when I've seen a serious injury that the doctors didn't say that's a serious injury before the X-ray.
Jerry, I heard you last night with Christy Scales on the pregame talking about your corner situation and then pointing out that the Giants, you know, they were without some corners too. How did you feel about the corner spot opposite of Diggs last night?
Well, I thought they did a good job with their depth because they were playing two safeties deep and they weren't going to give us much to look at deep. And I thought they did a pretty good job. I was surprised that we weren't able to move it a little more. That's not negative because we didn't get many plays, relatively speaking. What did we get, 40 or 50 plays?
Yeah.
Offense? It's really amazing to have had a game where we had so few offensive plays. And I saw us, and I think everybody would agree, we really were doing a good job in the run game. And using those plays to run the football is eating up some of the ones that could have tested those corners.
Obviously, we're pleased with the rush defense yesterday. The defense only gave up field goals, which is usually a really, really good thing. I'm curious from the defensive perspective, though, are you surprised about where the team's pass rush has gone? Because that seemed to be pretty non-existent for a good chunk of the game last night.
Well, one of the things that the balance between our pass rushers pinning your ears back, and if you will, you heard the players talking about how we've got to quit wanting to be heroes. You want to play, you want to put passing pressure on the way to stopping the run. Well, let me back it up. You want to be stopping the run and then get pass pressure. And that's really the order of things. You want to have pressure on the way to stopping the run. I'm going to get this right on about the fifth time. But the point is that you've got to do, obviously, both. But we did a good job of stopping the run. When you're doing a great job of stopping the run, there's a good chance you've got a little less pressure on the passer.
You know, Jerry, also the great fundamental speech was Vince Lombardi's gentleman, this is a football. Do you feel like Mike Zimmer might have to have a gentleman, this is a tackle speech for these guys? Because last night they did kind of struggle a little bit to wrap up.
Well, yes, but can't that Overshawn wrap up?
Oh, man.
Man, yeah.
He was a blast.
I haven't seen one that the Cobra puts that Cobra on him. Boy, now when he's got him, when he sees him, he's got him. And he's as good an open field tackler as I've seen us have in many years out there. I sure am impressed with him. But they can just take his highlight tape up there, and that's a good example how to wrap up.
Yeah, it is. And I don't think you ever had any doubt that CeeDee Lamb would get it all together, but how important do you think it was last night to get him going as early as Mike McCarthy and that offense got things rolling with him specifically?
Well, what is so telling is that he thought, and I didn't look at the film on the way in, but he thought that he was single covered one time, and that's when they burned him for the touchdown. Mm. And so if we can make sure that they understand it's coming, if they single him, then that will open it up for others out there as well, and that's where you're trying to go.
Now, you'd mentioned a little earlier that it did feel like the penalties were disproportionate last night, but the Cowboys were the second highest penalized team in the league going into this game and then had 11 through the first three quarters. How concerning is it, especially when you see those pre-snap kind of unforced penalties?
Yeah. We're playing two rookies in the offensive line, too, and that'll improve pre-snaps. That will improve, and they're smart rascals. They're really smart players. And so I think we're going to get better at penalties in general, but certainly pre-snap.
Jerry, I saw Dak go out there with the Amazon crew for the post game, and he was talking to them, and there were a bunch of Cowboys fans standing there waiting for Dak to come out and talk, and he's smiling. At one point, you know, they asked him about all the noise, and he was like, look at these amazing fans, and he had that sly smile on his face. Do you hear all of it from the fans? Do you hear all of that all that noise that comes from the fan base, and how do you take that?
Well, you mean at the game? I'll address it both ways.
Just in general, yeah.
Sure. I hear almost as though each one had a microphone on. Sure, I hear fans. And I remember Michael Irvin told me he could hear the fans individually when he had a ball and was running down the sideline. He could hear them. But the answer is, yeah, you can hear them. And that's not as important as for me as it is those players. But the most important thing is the interaction with the fans is, in my mind, a big part of this show. And I love interaction with fans. That's why that from the very beginning I invited crowds to our practices. And because my experience was that I was probably a player that wouldn't have played, had trouble at a different level. But when we practiced where I went to college, we'd have 2,000 people sitting there on the grass 15 feet away watching us practice. Mm. And that made you want to run through the wall every time you did a rep in practice as though you were playing in the Cotton Bowl. I believe in that stuff. So I believe in that crowd interaction with the team. And, yes, it's interacting with the team.
Since you came back on the team plane, did you have to tell Brandon Aubrey not to beat himself up for missing a single field goal since he's pretty much a machine otherwise?
Hey, I wouldn't touch him, would you?
No, that's a good point. That is a very good point. Well, we appreciate the time. As always, good sir, congratulations on the win. We will catch up with you again next week.
Guys, I enjoyed this morning. Thank you.
There you go. Jerry Jones right here on 105 through the Fan. Do you think he said he enjoyed it because Mike wasn't here?
I mean, absolutely, yeah. Okay. When Mike's here, it's a little bit different. You know, you get a weird question for him that you're like, where did that come from? And Mike's like, it's the Mike mind. And that's what happens with it sometimes. But also, man, it's a win, and the conversation's obviously different whenever it's a win. I think he said it from the onset when you asked the first question, is it not good enough? It's not fixed. He did compliment the opponent, I think, more than anybody else wants to compliment that opponent.
Especially the quarterback and offensive line.
And that being said, Daniel Jones was pretty decent last night until he had to throw the ball deep. Whenever Daniel Jones had to throw the ball deep, it looked terrible, except for that one throw to Neighbors early in the game. But, man, that ball hangs up in the air forever when Daniel Jones puts it up there. So I understand him complimenting it a little bit more, but I think Jerry's just taking it as a win and saying, all right, let's keep working on this thing. And I hope, man, more than anything, I hope the coaches and the guys in that locker room, like you said earlier, are in Micah's message. I'm not okay with this. I want to win big.
Now, we're live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Mesquite, and I feel like if we want to queue up Cut 17, we've got some time for NFL overreaction or reality.
Cook in motion. Allen in the pocket. Allen will run it himself. He pumps. Got some daylight, hurdles to the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo.
Now, NFL overreaction or reality. At this specific moment in time, Josh Allen is the best player in the NFL right now.
Yes.
Woo! And he'll face Patrick Mahomes.
Mahomes is really, really good. And they look really, really good, too. But it's the all-around package with Josh Allen right now. He's doing it with his legs, and he doesn't have to. But also, one of the things I've noticed about him doing it with his legs is he's not just ramming into people, doing the slap bump against people, you know, where his body is just getting damaged. He's making sure he gets out of bounds or slides and doing the right things there. And then he's making great throws. He's running that offense so perfectly right now. That combination between him and Joe Brady looks so good because there's so much balance in it, and they take advantage of big plays. And when they get near the red zone, man, they feel comfortable they can score.
And if Mike is listening, do you think we can troll him by saying Mahomes has pretty much been carried by his defense the last couple of years anyway?
Yeah, I mean, that's how they won that Super Bowl last year.
Sure.
And then this year, that defense has been helping out a lot, but the referees have been helping as well.
NFL overreaction or reality. I'm excited about this one. This year's AFC South will be one of the worst divisions we've seen in the history of professional football. That division is combined for 3-9 thus far. The Colts don't look good. The Jags look like one of the worst teams in the NFL. The Titans have a quarterback who their head coach might not be able to stand. And I like the Texans, but they just got smoked.
Yeah, but Kevin, the AFC North? Two of those teams can't score right now. They've totaled
one of them's oddly 3-0. But you're right about that.
But yeah, the one that can't score is the AFC East. I'm sorry, my apologies.
Oh, okay.
AFC East. They can't score. 33 for the Dolphins so far, and 39 for the Patriots.
Oof.
I know it's not the total package of the division, but that's bad right there. The Jaguars have 40 and 48. The Jaguars have 40 and 48. That's just a little bit more right there. But I agree with you. I'm not afraid of those teams. Not afraid of any of the teams in that. I feel like they have decent defenses, but they have a lot more to add offensively.
You know, since you brought up the AFC East, I'm looking at these numbers. This is really weird. The Buffalo Bills have scored 27 fewer points than the rest of the teams in the division combined. That's crazy.
And the Jets,
right there.
You know, with Aaron Rodgers, you'd expect more, too. But that game against San Francisco definitely was a slow start for them.
NFL overreaction or reality. The Raiders head coach needs to be able to back up his business decisions comment. Now, I know people have been floating the film out and been like, hey, I think he was really talking about this one specific individual, maybe two individuals. But would you like a little bit more from the coach if he's going to say, hey, there's people making business decisions out there? If you follow up and he's like, they know who they are, do you think the coach should be like, I'll tell you exactly who it was?
Ooh, that's a good question. That's part of the question I asked Jerry about being a real son of a bitch. You know, like, if you call him out, do you lose their trust?
He didn't want to repeat that phrase.
Hey, he said other things before. He knows.
Delightful.
He knows. Do you lose the player's trust if you call them out too soon? If they know who they are and they're making business decisions, I think you give them the opportunity to correct it before, and then. Maybe there's a way, usually what ends up happening is you sit your butt on the bench and you're not out there on the field. And that's the way that everybody knows, oh, that's who he was talking about right there.
Okay, all right. NFL overreaction or reality, Saquon Barkley is the best signing of the NFL offseason. I know I had another Saquon question earlier in the week, but he feels like he's been a huge deal.
Oh, man, I'm trying to think of any other signing that I would like that much. Because there are some other ones that are pretty good. But Barkley, for what they needed, trying to roll out, you know, Boston Scott and Miles Sanders. And look at DeAndre Swift right now. He benefited from the Eagles' offense last year. Right now with the Bears, he looks pretty bad. You know, that looks like a terrible signing. So they went and got the right one that fits with something that they needed to make their team better. That is scary. So he might be the one. I don't know, Kirk Cousins for the Falcons, they're not loving that one, are
they? Okay, yeah. Maybe not so much so that they're like, we're still going to draft
Sam Darnold, was he a trade or was he a signing?
That's a good question. I could see that
They were like, we need a quarterback with a heartbeat so that Justin Jefferson can get the ball.
All right, my last one, I don't think I'm going to convince you on this one. The 1.08 yards per rush allowed by the Cowboys yesterday was the sixth lowest in the history of the franchise. Overreaction or reality, the Cowboys have figured out their run defense.
They got better this
week. Probably still overreacting.
Look, man, and everybody can go say it's the Giants. That's fine. Okay. You held a team to that low. You have to acknowledge that they got better from what they did the last 2 weeks. That's something you definitely, as a team, you go, okay, what work did we put in this week that made it better? And now let's go do it again. And now we got to get a little better in our so we're not so soft that Malik Nabers is getting stuff. Man, let's be a shutdown defense, not just we shut down one thing at a time. Let's go do the whole thing. Somebody said Derrick Henry's signing is pretty big, too.
I would listen to that.
They hadn't really reaped the benefits of it until they played the Cowboys, and maybe you'll see more of that later because they were still trying to figure out how to use Derrick Henry, even as they were going up against the Cowboys last week.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan, live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Mesquite. Coming up next, let's talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola, right here on 105 Through the Fan.